Welcome to this edition of Belt and Braces, presented by John Belt and Barney Braces. It's got to do with music. Belt and Braces.
Here's one for you. The Desperate Bicycles. The medium is the tedium. This is the second single by a DIY punk band, Desperate Bicycles, who take their name from a 1930s J.B. Priestley model novel. And the second single, The Medium is the Tedium, was released in February 1978. What is really interesting about this band is that they take a kind of anti-rock stance, strip everything down to pure basics, and stick by that as if it's an ideology. And they were one of the very, very earliest punk groups to form almost entirely with the intention of being able to press a single and distribute it. So the DIY ethic was something that is contained within many of the lyrics of their songs. Their importance is that they inspired so many others. And I remember with great affection that period in St. Albans, which was probably true of a lot of small towns, that had T-shirt shops that would churn out T-shirt designs, badges, sell cassettes by local groups. And you and I were on a kind of cassette compilation of local acts. And that all came out of that wonderful DIY philosophy that Peel was so hugely in support of. So do enjoy. I love the pace, the lyrics, the whole fuzzy, amateurish charm of this single. I think it's got a terrific message, absolutely terrific message. So thumbs up or thumbs down.
And the outlets were closed. The rats were biting cats again, and everyone was stuck. Just another sound adventure, just another commercial venture. School has left its scars on me, work does the same. Nothing ever changes except the things that we blame. It's a negative point of view, and I bet you've got it too. Don't have a nice amount in a London bank account, a pocket full of destiny, a panic-stricken ecstasy. Another generation, a general intimidation, pushing through the O-level crowd is allowed. It was easy, it was cheap, go and do it. Apathy and ill, but it's the same everywhere. Neutral into positive is something to share. The light has changed from red, and now it's green instead. Your brain is in a better condition than mine. I heard about your feelings on the old grapevine. You can eat industrial waste if you can stand the taste. Trying to focus the haze or the craze. It was easy, it was cheap, go and do it. I think I'm telling people that they're capable too. They don't want to believe me, and there ain't just a few. All are insecure, and I love telepures. Conscious popping consequences in the latest overway. That endless rebel loud applause, the audience without a cause. Someone shouts at me, and I can't disagree. I don't need my A to Z, I got the street instead. I never pass the same way twice, I never take my own advice. If you can understand, go and join a band. All I can say to you, it was easy, it was cheap, go and do it!
Okay, so the Desperate Bicycles, the medium was tedium. A charming single, sort of single that I would use on a radio program if I was harking back to whatever year that came out, 77 or 78, whatever it was, 76 could be. I'm not sure that it evokes very much memory in me particularly. I think with one thing or another, at that age, liking Zappa and Bowie and things like Steve Reich's Music for 18 Musicians and Robert Wyatt, I don't think I went through much of a punk phase, and only saw a couple of punk concerts in my lifetime, certainly in that genuine era of punk rock. So not particularly, nothing particularly nostalgic about it. However, I think it's quite a charming track where you can hear the words, and there's something a bit tongue-in-cheek, or at least tiki bugger kind of thing about it, and it's referring, isn't it, to making music as well. Really lo-fi, which I quite like that. Like, they don't have a guitar, is that right? It's like they have this like a organ, but not a very sophisticated organ, and that bass guitar. I quite like it. It's not a band that I'm going to pursue. I'm not going to sort of, you know, if I walked into a second-hand record store in Japan or something tomorrow morning and saw an album by the Desperate Bicycles secondhand, I don't think I would buy it. So does that count as a thumbs down, even though I kind of enjoyed listening to it? This is a song called Bring Me by Peter Brown, from the 2019 album Freeway, which I've just read took only 3 days to record and was basically performed live in the studio. I won't refer to it as an alternative country artist, alt country artist, because that might just give you that kind of preference or prejudice dilemma again, but so what you think. He's had a 20-year career, has colored people, and has been a guest and backing singer and the whole thing. I find this very enchanting, very subtle, very delicate. It builds up the layers of sound, always very simple, and it sort of gives this sort of rather disarmingly lush kind of background to quite emotional voice, not in any kind of raunchy way, but actually in a almost a kind of a mumbling way. I find it really quite affecting. Interesting year for me, 2019. I got into this album at the same time as I got into that New Model Army album, which I can't remember the name of now, but which just rocked my world in the latter part of 2019. There was also Rachel Dadd's Flux. There was This Is The Kit, Moonshine Freeze, which I adored. There was Van Morrison's Three Chords and the Truth, which was a big return to form for me. Van Morrison, love that with the blue cover. I also came late a little bit to the Wood Brothers, One Drop of the Truth. I'm a big fan of theirs. And also Rosie Plain's What a Boost. Notice that I've mentioned all three of the Winchester Three there. So see how you go on with this one. This is a song called Bring Me by Peter Brown, from 2019's album Freeway.
I've got a lot to leave. After all, I believe, bring me. I've got nothing to lose except everyone's blues. Bring me whiskey and wine if you're going over the line. Bring me. I've been counting my blessings, counting the crows, 'cause the older I get, the faster it goes. And I know nobody knows, so if you don't mind, don't mind next time. Bring me. I skies, a little rain in your eyes, bring me through the songs and the streams into your dreams. Bring me, if music is love, we'll have enough. Bring me, I'll be counting my blessings, counting the crows, cause the older I get, the faster it goes. And I'm, nobody knows, so if you don't.
Pietta Brown, Bring Me. Beautifully placed. All the sound elements in that track were just so carefully placed, and so I couldn't possibly categorize it. I wouldn't wish to, because it's just so very enjoyable. It's interesting that you list music that you were listening to when you listened to this, 2019, because I would actually say, although they are different from each other, they're also similar to each other, and that they're all about very careful constructions of particular sound worlds in which the voice is the primary part, you know. And this is altogether a big thumbs up from me. I'd like to hear more by her. Very enjoyable. I mean, I could distinguish that this is an American act than a British act, but only by that signature use of the sort of very resonating kind of guitar. I'm not sure what that instrument is, which you get in country. But apart from that, it's not played with that cliche that you get to the biased ear. Very beautiful. Thank you. Beach House, and this is their track Zebra from their 2010 album Teen Dream. I had a huge fondness for that album in 2010. I have strong memories of it being on my headphones at the time. I was into running, and I remember running the heights behind Barcelona one early morning. And the song itself, it's difficult to pin down what the meaning is, you know, the black and white horse, all deception. My take on it, and I think that's why, to me, it's an extremely haunting song, is about recognizing a uniqueness, but an all too easy willingness to deceive other people that you're not, that really the zebra is amongst you, but you don't want to acknowledge that that's your nature. You are this wild, striking black horse. You're not run of the mill. And I think that it really, really pierced me, this song. It was part of a soundtrack to that particular period, and I think it was about keeping in check that, you know, for all the conformity, that making a living and bringing up a family and keeping close to your duties does, you know, we all have something unique in us, and it's really important to recognize that is there, and to keep that not just alive, but to keep that healthy, you know, to acknowledge it, respect it.
Black and white horse, arching.
Okay, so that was Zebra by Beach House. Now, I don't actually recognise this track, but I did kind of get into Beach House a bit. I kind of sought out their albums and downloaded a few and listened. And I do rather like it. There is a kind of American music that was made by bands like Idaho, Red House Painters, Karate, maybe American Music Club longer ago, and there's some other ones, and I just cannot think of the names of them now, which I've kind of flirted with, meaning that I had a kind of a 72-hour crush on and would listen to, you know, two or three other albums, and one of them would listen to it a few times. And Beach House was one of them. And what does it do for me? Like those other bands that I mentioned, particularly you should check out an album called Pockets by Karate, which I've come back to again and again, but it's probably about 5 or 6 years prior to this Beach House album. Yeah, there's the sort of the the sound and the voice and the fragments of lyrics that you catch without looking the words up create a certain kind of emotional appeal that is sort of kind of rooted in sort of being somber. There's kind of a glumness there, and yet it sort of, with its chord changes and its arpeggios and the jangling strings, it somehow is uplifting as well. I give this a thumbs up, John. I do. Okay, here we've got a tune called What About the Body from the 2018 album Blow by Donny McCaslin. And he's a saxophonist who, if you go back through his career, Matt catalogued through it, it's sort of increasingly sort of straight ahead, sort of modern jazz the further back you go, but then became much more kind of crossover and sort of hybrid as the years passed. In fact, Donny McCaslin, who's a saxophonist, he was probably the last musician that David Bowie really lent into and allowed him to influence very strongly exactly what it is that David Bowie was doing, because Donny McCaslin and his band were responsible for Black Star, the 2016 album that came out 2 days after David Bowie passed away. And if you look at some of the interviews and footage, you'll see that, as was the case over the years, David Bowie kind of let his band figure out things for him, whilst at the same time applying a firm hand to get exactly what he wanted. In fact, Donny McCaslin recorded an album in 2016 after the passing of David Bowie called Beyond Now, and that is actually about working with David Bowie. Or so we're told. So, have a listen to this. I find it rather catchy. I think, John, I might predict that you might struggle with the vocals. I don't know. It seems to be about the human condition, sort of urban New York modern jazz crossing over with sort of chamber pop or something. I'm not quite sure how to categorize it. So what do you think? This is Donny McCaslin with What About the Body? We'll be right back.
Donny McCaslin, What About the Body? It's a thumbs down for me, because although, you know, I really did enjoy Bowie's last album and the musicianship and the relationship with Donny McCaslin, and I understand Bowie's enjoyment of that. I think his vocal delivery is actually quite poignant on his last album, but on this McCaslin track, the vocal delivery is up against the wall, and it is almost a piece of jazz metal, and abrasive, and I just can't get my earlobes into it. It's got a big sound. It has a very, very big sound, and that worries me. You know, tracks that have big sound kind of gnaw at you if you don't want to embrace them. And I think that's one of the reasons why I couldn't go back to Bowie's last album many, many times, because I found the music so heavy. Although I appreciated it was a great work of art. It was socking a punch, which is indeed what this track does too. But it's just not for me, really, just not for me.
That's it. That's the end of Belt and Braces.